Today on The Grave Talks, the Haunted Dollhouse Museum with owner Giovanna Albrecht. Today we venture into the shadowy charm of the Haunted Dollhouse Museum in San Antonio, a place where porcelain faces smile sweetly and might be secretly watching you. Giovanna Albrecht is the museum's founder, curator, and fearless caretaker of hundreds of dolls, many of which are rumored to harbor the energy and perhaps the spirits of their former owners. She takes us behind the scenes of this historic home-turned-paranormal hub, sharing spine-tingling tales of haunted artifacts, strange happenings, and visitors who left with more questions than answers, and maybe an extra presence tagging along. From late-night ghost hunts to dolls that seem to move on their own, this creepy, cute destination blurs the lines between the delightful and the disturbing. Whether you're a hardened investigator or someone who sleeps with the lights on, this is your invitation to explore the unsettling charm of a place where the dolls don't always stay silent. Today on The Grave Talks, the Haunted Dollhouse Museum with owner Giovanna Albrecht. Giovanna, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. You and I have been trying to figure out a time to talk about the Haunted Dollhouse Museum for a long time, and finally we made it work today. So thank you so much.
Of course, finally. Thank you for having me.
Well, and poor you, you like lost your voice for weeks, and you do sound better now. But
A little bit. I still sound like I've been smoking my whole entire life.
And that's not the case?
No, I don't smoke.
So you have the Haunted Dollhouse Museum in San Antonio. How the heck did you decide that you wanted to start this particular business and have a dollhouse museum?
So I have always, when I travel, liked going to museums. It's just one of the things I do when I travel. And I try to find little quirky museums, you know, that... that are interesting. So I am a fan of the Voodoo Museum in New Orleans, you know, the Death Museum in LA, the Sex Museum in Miami. So I like little museums like that. And I had actually just came back from New Orleans to go to the Voodoo Museum. Every time I go to New Orleans, I go in there. I leave little business cards on the altars and, you know, I say a little manifestation so that my businesses can do well and, you know, we can have money in our lives and health and all that. So I always go to the Voodoo Museum and I do that. And just like I do museums, you know, I'll do churches too. I don't care what kind of church it is. When I travel, if I see a church, I'll always go in there and I'll do the same thing. You know, I'll say a little prayer. So when I came back from New Orleans that year, I had to take my child downtown for an event. And it was very early on a Saturday morning. I didn't have to work that day. And I kid you not, I am driving and it's such a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving downtown. Downtown San Antonio is so beautiful. And I'm thinking almost like a voice, you should open a museum here. And then I'm like, what the heck? And then I thought, well, what kind of museum? Like, I don't collect anything. I don't buy anything. Like, what kind of museum would I do? So anyways, that idea went out the window. I meet a friend, you know, we met for lunch and we're talking and I'm telling her, you're not going to believe this experience I just had. I think I may need a psychiatrist. Because I heard like a man's voice telling me you should open a museum. It sounded so clearly. And I thought she was going to say, oh my gosh, yeah, you should go see a psychiatrist.
Right.
But no, she encouraged my crazy and she said, you should. You would be great at it. And I was like, but why? I don't know what kind of museum. I don't collect anything. And she's a teacher. And she says, well, why don't you do something that you're passionate about? So anyways, you know, I forgot about the idea. One night, and I'm at home, I'm bored. And I thought, you know what? Let me put a business plan for a museum. You know, that's free.
Right.
Dreaming is free.
Uh-huh.
You know, typing it on a piece of, typing it on a piece of paper, it's free. So I started to think what my friend said, whatever you're passionate about. And I'm passionate about anything that's mysterious and occult and dark and tabooed, anything that's like that. I'm just like, what? Tell me about it. You know, I have a curious personality. So I started to Google, you know, things that were mysterious and occult and religious and all sorts of stuff. And I kept copy paste, putting in this dream sheet of what a museum should be like. Well, once I look at all my ideas, I'm thinking, well, how am I going to put these ideas in reality? And of course, you know, if you want to have like anything like a vampire kit, good luck finding a good one that's worth anything that you can afford. So I thought, oh my gosh, I need a lot of money to open a museum. This is not going to happen. And then I had a little sentence in there that said dolls. The rest of the sentence said, why do some people look at a doll and think that doll is cute, but other people can look at the same doll and think it's creepy?
Uh-huh, that's so true.
And when I looked at that sentence, I thought, oh my gosh, I can do dolls. I can find them anywhere. I can afford them. I can just go and look for dolls. In background, not even as a child, I liked dolls. They always creeped me out. I didn't want them. I didn't want them in my room. I didn't want to play with them. So here I go looking for dolls all over the city whenever I get free time. And I didn't just buy any doll. I bought dolls that would like make my skin curl. You know, so I would look at them and be like, ooh, this one's creepy. Okay, I'm going to take that one. Ooh, that one is weird. Okay, I'm going to take that one. Oh, that one is cute. No, I'm not taking that one. And that's what I did. I did that for 8 years. At the beginning, I would bring them, put them in a floor in my living room. You know, then you couldn't walk in my area of my living room, so I'd transfer them to the dining room. And then I had to get a storage shed because it was a lot, you know? And my kids kept saying, Mom, why do you keep buying dolls? You're not going to do anything with them. Just get rid of them. They're creepy. We don't want them in the house. When you come in here, do not even bring them in the house. Leave them in the car or just go directly to your shed. So whatever. So one day my kids are like, you know, just sell them, Mom. You're not going to do anything. It's been years and you're just spending money for no reason. So I said, hold my horse. And my beer.
And this doll.
I'm going to get in a Ferrari and I'm going to go look for a place. And that's when I told you about that little house.
Yeah,
that I
share that off. Story because I had, before we started recording, I had asked Giovanna how you ended up in the location that you have. And that almost seemed to come to you in the same way, really.
Exactly. I don't know where. You know, like I said, I saw it on Craigslist. I call the lady. The lady tells me, no, I did not post that. Lose my number, basically. And I keep texting her. And I kept annoying her for at least 6 months, telling her, come on, rent it to me. I promise you, you know, that you're not going to have problems with me. I'm going to pay the rent. I'm going to clean it. If I leave, I'm not going to leave all this junk behind. So finally, she agreed. And then when I went to look at that house, I realized I had been there. And my son had seen this lady there that called me by my name, hello, Giovanna, but I did not see her. I did not hear her. When I go back in the house looking for her, I don't see her anywhere. The owner, I go ask him, where's the lady that was here? And he said, no, nobody else has been here except you guys. And that freaked all of us out. We literally left the house super quickly. Yeah.
It's interesting to me because you were drawn to the house. You saw it on Craigslist and it was
okay,
almost.
No. Let me go back.
Okay.
I was not drawn to the house. The house found me.
Okay. That makes sense. I like that. Yeah. The house came to you.
I was not drawn to the house. I was just looking for a place downtown San Antonio on the Riverwalk, because that's where I heard that voice that said you should open a, and I love downtown and it's a tourist area. So I was looking for something downtown San Antonio, so it would be accessible for the tourists to go see the dollhouse. And then all of a sudden, I see this ad of this random house that it's not in the area that I wanted. And it happens to be the same area where my children saw that lady say hi to me by name. And she was literally a ghost, you know. And so that I find it in itself. I always say I've been lured into this business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a collector. I'm not a paranormal investigator. I am attracted to anything that's mysterious and dark and occult, like I said, but I don't search it. I don't go buy books. I don't, you know, I don't want to study on it. However, you know, if I see a documentary that is interesting, I'll watch a documentary about that over a movie. But like I said, it's not something that, you know, oh, I want to be a witch because witchcraft, I find it fascinating. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's not something that I want to do, you know. It took me a while to even tell people how I came across this museum. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a dream of mine. Oh, one day when I grow up, I want to have a museum. It wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that. I was lured. And whatever that voice was, and whenever that lady was, and whatever situation brought me to this house, it's a trap.
That's so interesting.
It's a trap. I've been trapped. Yes. And I get mad sometimes at the spirits and the dolls in there. And I tell them, you guys are using me. You're using my money, my time.
Yeah.
They're draining me, you know? But I still don't understand why I'm there. It could have been somebody else. Mm-hmm. It could have been somebody that's into that stuff. See what I mean? It could have been somebody that would have been more open or more welcome. I still haven't done an investigation in that house till now. I'm somebody stepping out to the side and watching what these people are doing and being a little bit of a skeptic, thinking, are they making that up? Are, you know, do they have mental issues? Are we all crazy in
this
house?
I think that all of us who are interested in paranormal topics and investigations and all things paranormal, I think that at some point in all of our lives, we've questioned our own sanity. It's like, did that really happen to me? And why did that happen? And am I crazy? Did I make it up? I think, you know, we're all questioning ourselves too.
Correct. And, you know, I actually, now that I'm, you know, that I'm exposed to this place, and it's not just the house, going back to your question, it's not the house that is haunted, it's everything that's in it. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, that lady that was in that house when my children saw her was possibly somebody that lived in that house before. I've tried to get some information about, you know, who was the person that lived in this house before. And the only information I've gotten has been from a girl that lives behind that house that was telling me that a lady lived there that was a hoarder. And right across in a straight line, the street from her, another little house that another hoarder lady lived there by herself too. And then behind her, so in line, all three homes, another hoarder lady lived by herself too. So what are the chances of three hoarders being, in, you know, in a straight line to each other? That's what this girl told me. They all wore black, didn't have children, didn't have friends, never had people over at the houses. And according to this girl, because she was young, she says, all of a sudden they just disappeared. And I said, what do you mean they disappeared? They died? And she said, no, because my cousins and I used to go and break into their homes after they disappear, and we would go through their stuff and just take whatever we wanted.
Oh, that's interesting.
I can't confirm that's a true story because, you know,
but it did come from the person who said that's what they did.
And it's a very interesting story to make it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's also very interesting for someone who does hoard to leave it. Because that's kind of their possession. They're very attached to the hoard itself.
Right.
You know?
And you know, and I'm going to tell you something. I am a minimalistic person, okay? Everything in my house is very modern and minimalistic. I just need six dishes. I don't need seven dishes. I just need six, yeah, okay? There's three of us. If I have company, six. We're good. In the house, however, in the dollhouse, there's especially a room that I always clean it. I get there every weekend and I am so mad because I cannot even walk in that room. And I find myself every weekend just getting everything out of that room. And somehow I go in there and I cannot even walk in there anymore. And I think it's her hoarding spirit that is in there. And I think her spirit and my nature fight about it all the time. You know, like people like right now are like, hey, I'm selling dolls. No, we're not buying any dolls. If people call that they're selling dolls, tell them we don't want one more doll. And somehow the dolls appear and they keep coming. And I'm just like, where are these 20 dolls? Where did they came from? Oh, somebody brought them. Oh, now I have to figure out where to put all those dang dolls. You know, and I think it's her spirit that wants more. It's not enough for her.
You know? There would never be enough for her.
And no.
People with that disorder, you know, they just can't quit.
Yeah, so she has to learn. So right now I have rules for her, like stay away from that room because I work in that room and you need to stay away. And actually yesterday I went in there and I could walk in there. But she's taken over. We have a humongous shed and she's taken over that shed. And I go and spend a whole day cleaning it. And we go back and it looks like somebody has rummaged through our boxes.
Oh, that's fascinating.
No, it's not.
It's like, please quit.
Please quit. I mean, like, we had this big candy canes for Christmas that I bought. And all the Christmas stuff is put in boxes because I'm very organized, right? Everything's labeled. All the Christmas stuff, of course, it's towards the back because it's the last season. And one day we come, and I kid you not, those big things are in the yard. And I'm like, who took the candy canes out of the boxes to put them in the yard? And everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy. And they're like, no, we can't even walk in there. So we still don't know how those candy canes, and I'm talking they're like 5 feet tall, how somebody went through all the boxes, went back there, took the candy canes and put them in the yard.
And why would someone do that of all things to do?
Exactly.
You know, there would be a whole lot of things you could much easier do. You'd have to,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Wow.
So going back to, you know, as believing that, okay, I may be crazy for thinking that, you know, maybe somebody's pulling my leg and one of the volunteers went in there and took it out and did that to, you know, pick on me because I'm the one that believes the least of everybody. But going back to that, the more time I spend at the dollhouse, the more I learn that, you know what, these people are not crazy. I see it with my own eyes. I hear it. I may refuse to accept it. Or I'm trying to think of, okay, what is the legality of this again? You know, like, wait a minute. How did you guys do that again? You know, and I have to like let it soak in my head and think, how did that happen? Like, why is that even happening?
Yeah.
So for me, I don't call the dollhouse haunted anymore. I call it magical.
Did you find that when you moved the dolls into the house, it created kind of an interesting energy once you kind of got them all in rooms and displayed? Because I am one of those people who feel that a lot of dolls are very creepy. Not all of them, but a lot of them. especially older dolls, I find really creepy.
I'm sorry, but they're all creepy, even Barbies. Yeah. They're all creepy to me.
Yeah, I get that.
But you know what? They're happy. All the dolls that are there, I sense happiness in them. The real name to the haunted dollhouse is the Forgotten Dollhouse Museum. Mm-hmm. Because I had no idea this thing was gonna be haunted. So I named it the Forgotten Dollhouse because I imagine like a little girl having a beautiful dollhouse, playing with her dolls there, and then for some reason something happens, that dollhouse was forgotten and abandoned, and then somebody comes across and found it, and there it is, back to life. And that's how I feel about this place. I feel like all these dolls were abandoned. Nobody wanted them. Mm-hmm. That's why they ended up in garage sales and, you know, Goodwills and Salvation Armies. That's why people drive to the front door and they say, you know, my aunt passed away and she had all these creepy dolls and none of us want them. Please take them. And I believe that whatever loved those dolls, whatever had meaning for them, is happy that somebody's caring for them. And I don't necessarily care for them. You know, I get them and I put them there and I make sure that they're displayed. But everybody that comes there, they love them. They photograph them. They video them. You know, they want to take them home. They love those dolls. And I think those dolls are so happy to be there that energy just echoes all over the dollhouse now.
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought of it like you, the way you just put it, but that makes sense. That these were, at one time, they were very cherished and loved.
Yes.
And then over time, they become forgotten, and now they're cherished and loved again.
Yes. This weekend, I had some investigators, and they were talking to a spirit named Rebecca. And Rebecca went and told them that I had her hidden somewhere. And she was not happy that because I had her trapped. And I kept thinking, okay, who is this? Like, who is this Rebecca? I don't have any, like the spirits are free to come and go and, you know, be wherever they want to be. Like, this is your home. You don't want to be here? Go somewhere else. You want to be here? This is your home. I just pay the rent and I make sure that everything runs smooth, you know? But I kept thinking about it. Why did the spirit say that? And it reminded me that I do have some dolls that were given to us as donations, but we are so packed with dolls that we don't have room for them anymore. And I have them in boxes. And I thought, you know what? Maybe Rebecca is in one of those boxes, and that's why she feels trapped.
That makes sense.
And she's not happy because she's been in those boxes. And then it brought me back to this lady that she passed away, and her kids donated dolls to us for $1. So we had to pay them $1 to get 21 dolls. So they were giving us 21 dolls for $1 with one condition, that we keep all the dolls together. And I went and got the 21 dolls, but we don't have room for them. And we have to keep them together. So can you imagine an exhibit with 21 dolls? That takes a lot of room.
Right.
So until I have the room for them, I put them all in a box. And I think that's where Rebecca is. And I think that's why she's mad at me.
But so they are all together. You kept your word there.
Exactly, because now I can like put them, you know, in different rooms and separate them. But actually, one of my goals this summer, after the summer, is to clean that shed and make another exhibit back there for more dolls that we keep getting.
Now, do the people who come through, are they looking for like a creepy experience, you think? Or are these just people who love dolls? Or both. You can absolutely have both.
You know, at the beginning, I thought I was going to get the people that love dolls. But the doll collectors, we are blasphemous. Because, you know, they love their dolls. They don't take them out of boxes. They don't want to touch them. They're so perfect, you know? And I mean, we have Barbies that we've taken them apart. We have Barbie limbs hanging. You know, we have dolls hanging from, I mean, if you ever come, you're going to see what I'm talking about. So for them, walking through the dollhouse has been like, why did you do that to these dolls? You know, we have some dolls that we painted their faces like clowns. And the reason why I did that was because, okay, clowns are creepy and dolls are creepy. Let's put them together so they can be creepier, you know. Because at the beginning, I was just doing an exhibit that, like you say, people would just come to see dolls because they love dolls or they thought they were creepy. Okay, let's give them creepy. So we made the yard creepy. But no, now we get people from everywhere. Even the doll collectors are coming just to see what the heck are these people doing with our dolls. And at the beginning, we didn't have any doll collector quality dolls because, you know, I didn't want to spend that much money on a doll. But now we're having a lot of people that their loved ones die and they have these very expensive dolls that they don't want to give to Goodwill. So right. They bring them to us and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like if I sell this doll, I could probably pay the rent, you know? But no, they're part of the dollhouse and they stay there.
You don't sell any of the dolls?
Like selling my children. So there's certain dolls that I pick them up just to sell because I don't sense anything in them. And we bring them to the dollhouse and we'll put the equipment to make sure that they're just dolls. Mm-hmm. So those we sell. But once in a while, I'll be surprised because one that we put there that was just a doll, now it's active. And now we're like, okay, let's ask her if she wants to leave or she wants to stay. So now that we are overpopulated, I'm actually thinking of doing a doll adoption event. We are not promising that you're getting a non-haunted doll, just like we're not promising that you're getting a haunted doll.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your problem now.
I like the idea of adoption. I think that's great.
Yes.
I like that.
You know, because I'm going to feel bad taking some dolls that have been with us for years and saying, hey, you know, we want to give you to a home that will love you and take care of you. And, you know, these are not dolls to play with. These are dolls for you to cherish, either as a collector or because you are hoping that they're haunted. So, yeah, we want an adoption. We want you to bring them on, and you're not going to misuse this doll. This doll's going to be for you to take care of her like we took care of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of doing something like that maybe towards the holidays so that, because we have some dolls that have been donated to us that are incredible looking. Like they're 5 foot tall, 3 feet tall, just wow. They're worth some money. And then I have some dolls that I picked up at a garage sale for 50 cents, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, how am I going to tell them we're going to replace you? But we need the space. Sorry.
But I also get how you have an attachment to these dolls.
I do not.
You don't?
I don't want
no.
to. I have an attachment to the concept.
Okay. Okay.
Of the dollhouse. It's magical to me. It's special to me now. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want to take care of it. I want people to take care of it. I don't want to say this as an ego thing, but I would love for generations to come to enjoy this. I have gone to some doll expos, and it saddened me to see that the only people that go to those things are old people. Young children do not go to doll expos anymore. They don't want to play with dolls anymore. They want phones and they want, you know, TikTok.
They want screens, yeah.
So at one point, you know, these doll companies are going to shut down and go out of business because they can't sell like they used to. You know, I mean, look at Barbie. Mattel was not doing very well. And because I would go to Walmart or you know, any store looking for Barbie stuff to do our exhibits, and I couldn't find anything. I would go online trying to find Barbie stuff, and I couldn't find anything. And whatever I could find Barbie was cheap. As soon as the movie came out, oh, you go to the stores now, you find Barbie dresses, Barbie t-shirts, Barbie everything. It's crazy. So I think at one point, you know, this companies that are making these dolls may not be selling as well, and they may start shutting out, and it may be, you know, a thing of the past. And then the dollhouse will be for generations to see, like, oh, wow, look at that, you know? So hopefully I'm building something for the future.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at your Facebook page, and I saw a video about how you had kids draw pictures.
Yes.
Of what they... Was it pictures of what they had seen in the dollhouse or experienced in the dollhouse?
So that is 100% not my idea. I have a volunteer. His name is Rob, and he's fantastic. He's an investigator, and he's there every weekend, rain or shine, all day long. He loves the dollhouse. He's devoted to it more than I could ever be. And it was his idea. I didn't even know we had those things until, like, when I posted that. So what he does is when we have kids that go in there, he'll talk to them. And if they say they saw something, he says, okay, can you sit down here and draw it for us? And that's what he's doing.
It's really cool. Actually, it's very interesting to see these drawings.
But you know what's so interesting about it? About a year ago, I had somebody tell me, why do you have a soldier here? Why is there a spirit of a soldier here? And I was like, I don't know. And then I thought, you know what? I have some memorabilia that is from World War I. Maybe that's what it is. Or I also have a doll that was given to a little girl by her dad that came from World War II. And I learned that at the time, you know, there were no dolls. They were not producing toys. So when the company started to produce these toys, the government actually made it to give it to the soldiers first, to give it to their children. So that's how this little girl got this doll. So she passed away and her husband donated to the museum. And I thought, well, maybe that doll brought the soldier here. Our cameras have caught something that looks like a soldier, because it has a hat that looks like those hats that the soldiers used to wear in the war, you know, kind of flat-looking hats. Mm-hmm. So anyways, one of those drawings, there's a little girl standing next to a soldier.
Who's wearing that kind of hat?
Is it? I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, it looks like that. There's a picture that looks like a soldier with a hat on, yeah.
Yeah. And we don't tell people these stories. I mean, I don't even post them on our social media. You know, the Curious Twins, they do tours with us. And the other day, I showed them something that the cameras have been catching. And he said, Giovanna, why don't you post that? And I said, because there's so many people out there that they think that, you know, we're producing that, that we're making that up. And I don't want our spirits to be disrespected like that. People don't need to know this, you know? This is our secret. And he said, no, I think you should post it. But we don't tell that story of the soldier. You cannot find that anywhere. How did this little girl know that there was a soldier there?
That's interesting.
Then I love the one, my favorite one, is the one of the little person sitting, and then there's all this ghost surrounding her. It's black and white, and then there's like other little...
I'm looking at it right now.
And then the shadow one, the one going up the attic on the shadow. Everybody tells us that there's a shadow that peeks through the stairs. I mean, so many people have told us, oh my God, I just saw somebody peeking at us. It's a shadow. And she didn't draw it like the kid didn't draw it like a shadow. It's almost like looks like a... like multi-legs, multi-arms. Mm-hmm. I found that super interesting. But I also liked it that it was colorful, dark, like a shadow.
I just love the fact that he had the idea to have kids draw what they're seeing.
Oh, yeah. This, you know, you know how that voice came to me and how the cows came to me and how this haunted dolls are coming to us for no reason? He came to us. I always say there's a reason why people get lured to the dollhouse. So sometimes I see people come in through the door and they hi, bye. And then once in a while, I have somebody that walks through the door. And I'm like, why are you here? What brought you here? That's my thought. And I observe the person and I go and talk to them because I know that they're not there by chance. And Robert was not brought there by chance. They brought him there. And without Robert, I couldn't have done three quarters of what I have done in the dollhouse because he is such a good spirit that there's no way he can make up anything to be famous. You know, all these other investigators, they want to have the likes. They want to have the YouTube channel. They want to be picked up by a national show. Not Robert. Robert doesn't care. Robert wants to wear a mask and not be recognized. Preferably a mask that he doesn't have to talk to people. Robert will catch things in his equipment that he just does it for him. Oh my God, Giovanna, look at what I heard. Or come here, let me show you this. But he's not recording that. I actually had to have a talk with him like a few months back and say, Robert, you need to introduce yourself. People need to know who you are. I want you to get known, you know? And he's like, oh, I don't care about that. I said, I know that. And that's why people need to know you because you know, he's truth compared to a lot of people out there that they're just posers.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Giovanna Albrecht about the Haunted Dollhouse Museum. For more information, visit their website, ForgottenDollhouseMuseum.com, and you could even make a donation to help the dolls. Every dollar helps. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.